Let us just go into the word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We do ask and receive this evening that there is revelation knowledge. Our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of God's word. There is no confusion as God's word is taught. There is no confusion as God's word is taught. Truth of God's word is taught with clarity, with precision. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are all edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise be God. Praise be God. Yeah, so we will just continue along the line in which we started a few weeks ago, the month of February. We've been trying to examine God's word on believers' conduct and a little touch of believers' love walk. And it's been quite an interesting series. If you are with your Bibles, which I believe you should be with, it's a Bible study. Talk me to Galatians chapter 1 verse 6. Galatians chapter 1 verse 6. We're trying to have a blend between love walk and believers' conduct. You know, how we conduct ourselves, having love as a fulcrum or foundation of the things we do and say. Look at Galatians chapter 1 verse 6. Look at what Paul says to the Galatians. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, yeah, what Paul is really saying is, though we or any other person, any other messenger from heaven, says, so really speaking about men, so, but though we or an angel from heaven should preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Paul says, if we, including himself, or any other being, any other person, any other man, any other messenger, should preach any other gospel. Yeah, what is the gospel? Look at 1 Corinthians verse 15, quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Look at what Paul says that the gospel is. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Yeah, Paul says that any other person who preaches any other gospel than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. Paul told the Corinthians, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand. He says, by which also ye are saved. In verse 3, it says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. So the gospel is something that is received and delivered to others. In fact, hold your hands in 1 Corinthians and go to 2 Timothy 2. Hold your hands in 1 Corinthians. So we're in Galatians 1. Yeah, we're trying to visit Galatians 1 through the lens of Corinthians and Paul's letter to Timothy. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2. It says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, it says, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So the gospel is something that is preached by men to other men so that these other men can preach to other men. Yeah, it says, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So it is God's will that faithful men learn sound doctrine for them to be able to teach other men who will be called faithful men to teach other men. Yeah, we see the faithfulness in the fact that you learn properly and teach properly. So go back to 1 Corinthians now, 1 Corinthians 15. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at it again. It says, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. So Paul received the gospel and delivered that which he received. What did Paul receive? How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Yeah, so Christ died, he was buried and rose, all according to the scriptures. So the scripture said it, and we see the fulfillment in the work of Christ. Yeah, so look at Galatians again. So Paul now says to the Galatians, he says, but though we, verse 8, Galatians 1, 8, but though we or an angel from heaven should preach any other gospel, yeah, unto you than that which we have preached. Yeah, what is that which Paul preached? It is that which Paul received. Yeah. So that which Paul delivered was that which he received. So to Paul was delivered a gospel, and Paul delivered that same gospel to the people. Yeah. So that they can deliver to other people. Yeah. That is how God's work grows. That is how God's word grows. He says, but though we or an angel from heaven should preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. The word they are cursed, there is the word that means to be separated, to put aside, don't go close to. So we see in Galatians chapter 1 that as Christians, we have an assurance of our faith. Yeah, we have an assurance of our faith. It means that the gospel is something that when you listen to, it deepens your conviction, or what? Emboldens your convictions, your assurance of your faith. Yeah, so Paul is saying in verse 7 that this gospel he's speaking about troubles the people. Yeah, so there's something called a gospel that troubles, and there's something called the gospel. Yeah, the gospel that troubles is called another gospel. The gospel that doesn't trouble is the gospel of our Lord and Savior. How that Christ died for sins and he rose again for sins. Yeah, so by that we have an assurance. Now see what Paul says in Galatians 5. Look at Galatians 5 verse 1. Paul now says what? He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Yeah, you remember in chapter 3, he already spoke to them about how they seem to be bewitched. Yeah, they seem to be people who have received the Spirit or the Spirit of God, and they're trying to put in their works to make themselves complete. Yeah, your works doesn't make you perfect in Christ. The work of God in Christ is what makes a man who believes in the gospel perfect. So as Christians, we have perfection. We have received perfection. We are complete in Christ. Yeah, so Paul now tells them in in chapter 5, verse 1, he says, stand fast, therefore, in that liberty wherewith Christ had made us free. So there's a freedom we received. Paul says, stand fast. Paul says, stand firm. Yeah, stand firm in that you've received, in that you've received, in that you have already received. See what it says in verse 13 again. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. See what it says in verse 13. See what it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. It says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Now, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. So it means don't allow the liberty you've received, yeah, the liberty of the fact that your sins have been forgiven forever, don't allow that liberty or give it as an occasion to the flesh. Yeah, but by love, serve one another. Yeah, so there's a liberty received upon believing the gospel, and there's something called service to one another by love. Yeah, there's a tendency for you not to serve by love, which is you are capitalizing on the liberty you have already received. Yeah, we are to receive a liberty, or rather, we have received a liberty, and we are to serve by love to or serve one another by love. Yeah, so look at it again. He says that, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. We have been called unto liberty, but only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve one another. Yeah, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Yeah, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Verse 16, he now says, this I say, walk in the Spirit. What did he say in verse 13? Serve by love. What did he say in verse 16? Walk in the Spirit. What did he say in verse 13? Service, render service to one another by love. What did he say in verse 16? Walk in the Spirit. So, walking in the Spirit of verse 16 is equal to the service by love in verse 13. So, serving by love is equal to walking in the Spirit of verse 16. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hallelujah. So, we've seen that the love of God is the foundation of our actions. We've established over and over that, you know, we might not be able to point certain actions to scriptures to tell us what we should do in certain situations. Yeah, for instance, there are some things that the Bible will not tell you outrightly what is wrong, what is right. But we know that the love of God is the foundation for our actions. What would the love of God do? What does the love of God say? What would the love of God do? Yeah, love is what? Service. Love is something we use in rendering service to one another. So the love of God doesn't insist on his right. Yeah, the moment your love insists on his right, what is this? What are you really doing? You are giving liberty, or you are using your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Are we together? So the love of God doesn't insist on his rights. Yeah, the love of God is not about what you know. Yeah, it's about your brother, it's about your sister, it's about other people who are around you. So walking in the Spirit in verse 16 is equal to walking in love. So we determine the actions we do, having love as our foundation, as the fulcrum, as the basis of the things we do. So the questions of should I not, it is what will the love of God do? What does the love of God say? What does the love of God say? You see, so for the sake of others, we would actually find ourselves abstaining from certain things. We saw Paul give an example in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Yeah, because of the love that Paul had for the brethren and had for others, there were some things he abstained from. If I go to 1 Corinthians quickly, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8 quickly. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 13. Yeah, Paul was full of knowledge. Paul taught the Corinthians what they knew. Paul was the spiritual founder and father of the church in Corinth. Yet, see what Paul tells them in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 13. He says, wherefore, if meat would make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Yeah, for the love's sake, for the love's sake, for the love that is in the heart. Yeah, you do certain things and you don't do certain things because you are considering your brother over yourself. Yeah, what does non-love say? Non-love says that it is myself over others. Yeah, that's why we see in scriptures. Yeah, the self-love is not taught in scriptures by the apostles of Jesus. In fact, we see Paul give an example of self-love as a trait of the end time. Yeah, self-love is not taught in scripture. It is your brother over yourself. Yeah, it is your brother over yourself. It is that you are dealing with people who are still babies around you, people who have weaker consciences than you. Yeah, so it is them before you. Yeah, it is them before you. Yeah, it is them before you. You see, the example we have is for, do you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that he was rich, yet he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Yeah, so Jesus gave himself sacrificially so we can attain something. Yeah, it is us in mind. So what Jesus did, he did it out of love. That's why he say, for God so loved the world. What? How do we know it is love? It is that in the action of Jesus, we were on his mind. Are we together? Yeah, Jesus did not die to make himself better. Jesus did not die to put himself on a higher pedestal in the world. Yeah, Jesus did not die to increase his portfolio. No, Jesus died, and in dying, he was actually having us in mind. So the death and the resurrection of Jesus is towards us. Yeah, so in the actions of Jesus, you see that we, the believers, were on his mind. Or let's say better, in the actions of Jesus, mankind was on his heart. Yeah, that is the same example we have. In the actions we follow or the actions we do, we have others in mind. We have others in mind. Yeah, so go back to Galatians where we were. Oh, Galatians. See what it says in Galatians again. It says Galatians chapter 5. It says verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Yeah, what did he say it in verse 16? He says what? But walk in the Spirit. So walking in the Spirit is equal to walking in love. So when you are walking in love, you are walking in the Spirit. Yeah, so the question now becomes primarily in your mind. What will the love of God do? What does the love of God say? Yeah, so we don't use the knowledge we have for selfish aims. Yeah, we look at people with the eyes of the love of God. So the actions we take, the actions we do, or the things we do, we have love as the fulcrum. We have love as the eyeglasses, yeah, by which we do certain things. Glory to God. Yeah, so Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8, he says, because of my brethren, I don't want them to offend in this and this. I will therefore not do and this. So the Christian is one who is born of God that at some stages of his life, he would make up his mind not to do certain things. Not because they are entirely wrong. See, there is nothing wrong in Paul eating meat. Do you see that? There's nothing wrong in eating meat. There's nothing wrong in eating flesh. Yeah, but because of the sake of others, Paul decided to abstain from meat. Yeah, so there are certain things a believer will do or a believer will not do, not because that thing is wrong, but because he's a believer, but because he put in high esteem other people above himself. You don't get that. Yeah, so we are Christians who always have questions. Pastor, what do I do? What do I do like this? The question is, what will the love of God do? What will love of God say? So, love is that litmus test for right or wrong doings. Did you get that? Yeah, love is that litmus test for right or wrong. So, you know, in chemistry, there's something called litmus test. Yeah, there's something called litmus paper. Litmus paper is a paper that is used to test for our acidity, rather. Yeah, so that paper that we have, what we have here as believers, is what you call the litmus test, or is what you call love. So the name of the litmus test used to know whether an action is right or wrong is actually love. So when you come up in a place, you find yourself in a place, is this thing wrong or right? Should I call pastor? A lot of time, you don't need to call pastor. A lot of time, it is simple, what will the love of God say? What will this do? What will my action do? Or what will my action affect in a fellow brother? What will my action affect in a fellow sister? So, like we said also, if you remove the love of God from your motives, actions could be considered as sinful. So, the love of God is the primary foundation to the actions or to the things we do. In fact, including walking in love, including walking in the Spirit, including the love walk. Look at 1 Corinthians 6 quickly. 1 Corinthians 6, 8, 12. Yeah, you see, Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, says something important. Before he said in 1 Corinthians 8, 13, where he said, wherefore I will not eat flesh because of my brother. See what he says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. He says, All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Yet, see, as a believer, you can literally sit down and justify why everything is something you can do. What did Paul say in Galatians? Don't use this your liberty and give an occasion to the flesh, but by love render service. But by love serve one another. But by love serve one another. Yeah, so what he's saying, what Paul saying in 1 Corinthians 6? He says, what? All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. Yet all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Yeah, so the love of God is the highest law that guides our knowledge. Yeah, we saw that in our last week's teaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, when Paul was teaching about food offered to idols. Yeah, so the love of God is the highest law that guides my knowledge. The law of God is the highest law that guides my actions. The love of God is about others, not me. Yeah, are my actions born out of love? Yeah, you see, that question you have in your heart, yeah, can you justify why it is right? You can pick scriptures upon scriptures to justify why it could be right, why it could be lawful, but because of the love of God in your heart. Yeah, are you considering others also? Are you considering others in the things you do, in your actions? He says all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Yeah, so the same thing applies. So when Paul says walk in the Spirit, he's saying walk in love. Yeah, let your conduct show a conduct that love is the foundation of what you are doing. Look at what Paul taught in Romans chapter 12 quickly. Let's see something in Romans 12. If you are with the Bibles, I believe you should be with. Look at Romans chapter 12. Look at what Paul taught in Romans chapter 12. Quickly. Romans chapter 12. See what Paul taught there. Yeah. Romans 12, verse 9. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. See what Paul taught there. He says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, yeah, serving the Lord. Look at it. If you look at Romans 12, verse 11, Paul says what? Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, yeah, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. He now says, distributing to the necessity of saints, giving to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Yeah, bless and curse not. Bless and curse not. He says, rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your conceit. The same thing he was teaching in Galatians 5. Let love be the foundation of your actions. Let love be the foundation of the things you do. He now says in verse 17, who I want us to pay attention to. He says what? He says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Yeah, recompense to no man evil for evil. Recompense to no man evil for evil. He says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as it lies with you, live peaceably with all men. Look at that again. Yeah, what did Hebrews say? Hebrews tells us, follow peace and holiness with all men, without which no man shall see the Lord in you. What did Paul say in Romans? He says, if it be possible, as much as it lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not for yourself, but rather give place to wrath. Give place to wrath. See, that word here, give place to wrath, is actually a figure of speech that means do not yield to wrath. Yeah, do not allow people get back punishment for their actions. Yeah, give place to wrath. It's not saying, you know, if somebody does bad to you or does evil to you, say, no word, you shall see. Hey, let the give me see. Look at it. Will people do bad to you? Yes. See, if people don't do bad to you, it means that you're not exposed to mankind. It means that you're not exposed to people. People will always offend you. People will usually always offend you. Yeah. But what did Paul say to Romans? He says, give place unto wrath. Do not yield to wrath. Do not see, he cannot say give place to God and mean that, oh, say God will punish you or say that I wish you evil. No, he has told you already in verse 18, if it is possible, as much as it lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Look at it now, say, for it is written, verse 19, vengeance is mine. You know, I've given examples of people who have given beautiful interpretations to that. When they say, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So, vengeance is mine, that is, vengeance is for me. That's what God says. Yeah, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Where do you think Paul is teaching from? He's teaching from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35. Run there quickly. Deuteronomy 32, verse 35. Look at Deuteronomy 32, verse 35. It says, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Yeah, their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand. And the things that shall come upon them, make haste. Now, you know, to understand Deuteronomy, we have to look at Paul. To understand the context of Deuteronomy, we have to look in context of what Moses has been writing. Yeah, so let's dwell in Romans today. Look at Romans again. Look at Romans 12. Yeah, so where is Paul quoting that from? He's actually teaching from Deuteronomy. So how did Paul explain Moses' Deuteronomy 32, verse 20 of Romans 12? Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Yeah, that is the vengeance of God. Yeah, if your enemy be hungry, feed him. Yeah, if your enemy be hungry, look at it again. If your enemies be hungry, feed him. If your enemies be hungry, feed him. If your enemies be hungry, feed him. He says, if he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coal of fire on his head. You see, coal of fire is something that is used as a figurative expression for what? Feed your enemy. Give your enemy that is thirsty water to drink. So in doing that, you are what's the word? Exciting their conscience to recognize the love of God. So look at it. When someone does evil to you, yeah, what do? You feed them with water. You feed them with food rather and give them water to drink. In doing that, you are heaping a coal of fire on them. Look at it. Paul is really teaching from Moses again. Look at Leviticus. Leviticus 16 verse 11. Look at Leviticus 16 verse 11 to 13. Yeah, and Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, yeah, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before him. So you see, coal of fire was used by Moses in reference to sin offering. Yeah, go back to Romans 12, Romans 12. Look at Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. Look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Look at it again. So, it says, dear beloved, avenge not for yourself. What does that mean? Do not yield to wrath. Yeah, but rather give place unto wrath. Yeah, do not yield to wrath. Vengeance is mine. What is the vengeance that God expects from you? Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. He now tells you in verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So we are to overcome evil with good. In overcoming evil with good, what are we doing? We are heaping coals of fire on the head of our enemies. What is heaping coal of fire on the head of our enemies? We are giving them food. So it means that we are giving them what they do not expect. We are giving them what they do not deserve. That's the word. Yeah, we are giving them what they do not deserve. Yeah, it's the same thing that Jesus was teaching when he says, if one should slap your left cheek, turn your right cheek for him to slap. See, Jesus is not teaching that, just make sure you want to slap your left cheek, you bring the other cheek and you turn it, let them slap it again. No, that would be actually Jesus teaching stupidity. No, that is a figurative way of saying that do not give to that one who does evil to you what he deserves.
Yet heap coals of fire on his head. In heaping coals of fire on his head, you are teaching and preaching and demonstrating the love of God. So what will make you not do wrong is not the wrath of God. Yet we've done several teachings, which we will do again in next week's investigating salvation and explain what the wrath of God is. Yeah. So it's not the fear of the wrath of God that will make you do certain things. Yeah. It's not the fear. So look at it. If someone should slap you or someone should do something negative to you, yeah, what does the Bible teach you should do? The Bible actually teaches that word. You should heap coals of fire on his head. Yeah, what the Bible says you should teach? He says you should feed him that is hungry. Even though he's your enemy, feed him that is hungry. Give him drink. He says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Hallelujah. Yeah. So look at it. Look at verse 17 again. Recompense to no man evil for evil. It means do not give to a man what he truly deserves. Yeah, so forgiving, in feeding your enemies, in giving drinks to those who do evil to you, you are inciting their conscience to recognize the love of God in forgiving the evil done to us. So the forgiveness of sin is something that God has made available to all mankind. Yeah, we are believers who have received of that. Bible says in Matthew 6, we'll be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Yeah, so our conduct is something. So look at it. As a believer, when someone does something evil to you, people around you should expect or should know what to expect from you. Let me say it this way: people should not be surprised at your walking in love. Yeah, for that is in itself a good conduct. That in itself is proper conduct. That in itself is walking in the Spirit. Look at Luke 9. Look at Luke 9. Look at Luke 9 quickly. Look at Luke 9 52. Luke chapter 9 verse 52. Look at Luke 9, verse 52. He says what? And Jesus sent before his face, and they went. So Jesus sent messengers, and they went, and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him. Who did not receive him? The Samaritans. Yeah, the Samaritans did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Out of anger, see what happens. Verse 34, it says, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elias did? Yeah, see, look at it. In human knowledge, it is expected that you feel terrible when you are rejected. You see, that's why I keep saying something. There's nothing called the favor of God upon your life that you will never be rejected. Yeah? the person who gives that favor was rejected in an entire city. Think about it this way. Imagine the kind of rejection that Jesus had to the point that James and John, the next thing they wanted to do was to call fire and devour. Yeah? What did Jesus do in verse 55? But Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. And they went to another village. Yeah, the Son of Man, so it means that now they were quoting Elias or Elijah, God of Elijah, said of, yeah, they were quoting Elijah to call down fire. In the calling down of fire of Elijah, fire responded. Yeah, was it from God? No. Jesus, who is God, now explains or corrects their notion about Elijah. So a man can call down fire without actually God answering the prayer and fire will respond. Yeah, think about it that way. That's why you have people who are traditional worshippers, Shango worshippers, that call that fire and thunder and they respond. Yeah, it is not God responding. Yeah, there's a lot of that there. So Jesus is correcting James and John on their knowledge concerning Elijah. Yeah, if Jesus was going to use Paul's writing in Romans 12 to teach James and John, what will he say? He will say, dear beloved, avenge not for yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. It is written, vengeance is of the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, who are the enemies in the context? Those who rejected him. What did he say you should do? Feed them. What did he say you should do? In doing that, you are heaping a coal of fire, or you are heaping coals of fire on their head. What is that? You are really overcoming evil with good. So no matter how much you are rejected, you must never wish for the downfall of those who reject you. In doing that, you are walking in the Spirit. In doing that, you are walking in love. In doing that, you are recompensing to no man evil for evil. Hallelujah. Paul says, as long as it lies with you, it says, live peaceably with all men. So, James and John wanted to call that fire. Did they have an example? Yes. So, God of Elijah sent that fire. The God of Elijah that sent that fire is not the God that is the Father of our Lord and Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, the God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ is not the one, a God who sends down fire to destroy people. The consuming fire that our God is in the fact that he consumes the law and the punishment that comes with it. Yeah, for our God is a consuming fire. Yes, the consuming fire of God doesn't consume people, but it consumes the Lord. That's figurative. Hallelujah. Yeah, the fire of God doesn't consume people. So no matter how much evil that is done to a man in Christ, yeah, if he calls on fire and fire responds, it is not the God that is Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So your conduct as a saint in trying situations, in situations where you are rejected, is to what? Overcome evil with good. Look at Matthew. So, if it was God that responded to Elijah's calling down fire, God, who is Jesus in the flesh, should not have rebuked James and John. So, it's either that the God of Old Testament changed and we now have a new God, or the God that they said answered by fire, yeah, that God that answered it by fire, let him be your God, not our God. Because our God is a loving Father who teaches that what? We should give those who are our enemies food and drink to drink. Yeah, in doing that, we are heaping coals of fire on that. That is, we are inciting their conscience for them to recognize the love of God. Yeah, that is a worldly conduct. When I mean worldly, I mean worldly. Yeah, that's let me say better. That's the conduct of the world. Look at Matthew 5. So Jesus began to teach from Moses again, as usual. He says, ye have heard that it had been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Where did they read it from? They read it in Moses' writing. What did Jesus say? I say unto you, who do we listen to? We listen to Jesus, who gives explanation to the writings of Moses. Yeah, look at it. See, when we read Romans chapter 12, when it says, I will repay for vengeance is mine, we saw it in Deuteronomy. We now see Paul explains it as what? If your enemy is hungry, feed him. Look at oh gracious Father, Matthew 5, 38. Ye have heard, where have you heard? They have read from scriptures that it is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But Jesus said, I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. What is turn to him the other also is what I've been explaining since morning. It is that do not give them a recompensation for their action. Yeah, do not. See, Jesus is not saying when they slap you, turn the other side. No, it's a figurative expression. In fact, if you look at, we'll look at that maybe on Sunday. What is Jesus really teaching? Jesus really teaching that we meet or we tend to jam the violence that the world supplies to us with the love of God. We tend to allow the love of God in us collide with the violence that the world or our enemies bestow on us. Hallelujah. Yeah, so if you punch me, I will slap me and I slap you back. I'm cooperating with the worldly ways. Yeah, what do I do when you slap me? I turn my other cheek. What is that? In the reason, it is that what? I'm allowing what? A room for love to rule. A room for love to win. Love always win. You see, there is never a time where walking in love will actually be wrong. Yeah, for you to say walking in love is wrong, it means that walking in the spirit can be considered as wrong. No. So, see what Paul says, and Jesus says. He says, turn to him the other also. Verse 40, and if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compare thee to gold a mile, go with him twine. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemies. Yeah, what did Jesus say? Verse 4, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. In case you didn't see it again, look at it. The same thing Paul was teaching in Romans 12. Yeah, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Pray for them. So people say that, Bible says we should pray for our enemies, but it didn't give us the prayer so we can pray for them to die. Now, pray for is different from pray against them. Jesus never said pray against them which despitefully use you. No, it's pray for. Pray for. But I say unto you, love your enemies. What did Paul say? Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. In feeding him, you are heaping coals of fire on him. What is that? You are loving your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute. So, Jesus already makes it clear that people will despitefully use you. There are people who will persecute you. What should you do? Pray for them. Why? Verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. So God doesn't answer prayers of men because they are good. God doesn't allow the sun to shine on people because they are good. No, God allows the sun to shine on both evil and good. And God allows rain on both the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you alone, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do same? Yeah, so look at it. If you rub my back, I rub my back. Tit for tat. Yeah, if you give me, you give me one contract today, I give you another contract tomorrow because you gave me contract today. Yeah, what difference are you from those who are unbelievers? So what differentiates the believer from the unbeliever in the love walk or in responding to people is giving those things to people that do not deserve. Giving love to those who do not deserve love. Mankind can say this man doesn't deserve love, but as a believer in Christ, you are one who is to give what he doesn't deserve. Hallelujah. Yeah. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? You see, if you salute only your brethren, verse 47, yeah, so if you salute only those who are your clique, yeah, what do you do more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? Verse 48, which is instructive, it says, be ye therefore perfect, just as your heavenly Father which is in heaven is perfect. So we are to attain perfection just like our Father is perfect. We are to attain perfection just like our Father is perfect. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, he says, after this matter, verse 9, therefore pray ye, our Father, which are in heaven. Remember, he told you in chapter 5 that you should be as perfect as that your Father, which is in heaven. He now says, pray this way, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom is come, thy will is done in earth as it is in heaven. Yeah, he says, give us this day our daily bread. The word there, daily bread, is the Greek word that means eternal bread, sufficient bread. Yeah, give us this day our eternal bread. Give us this day our daily bread, our sufficient bread. Yeah, what is daily bread? Daily bread is a way of Moses' writing teaching about forgiveness of sins. So verse 12 now tells you, and forgive us our debtors as we forgive our debtors. Hold on. For verse 44 or verse 48 of chapter 5 to be correct, it means that Jesus should have said what? Your heavenly Father should be as perfect as you are perfect. Look at it again. Verse 48 of chapter 5 says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Look at chapter 6. He now says, forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Yeah, if you look at that verse in a lame man speaking, it will mean that what? God forgives you as forgive others. No. We are too small to teach God forgiveness. Are we together? We are too small. We are in baby class of forgiveness to teach God the master of forgiveness. For God, forgiveness is like. So it is not as you forgive, and God now forgives. No. It's a good way to read that we actually be what? You forgive us our debt, so we forgive our debtors. Yeah, it is the forgiveness we have received that we express to others. If your enemies be hungry, what do? You give them what food to eat. So you forgive us, so we forgive. So Jesus' forgiveness or God's forgiveness seen in the work of Jesus is our example that we follow. That's why Matthew 5 verse 48 will now make sense. Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So you lead us not into temptation. You deliver us from evil. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah. So if you go back to Matthew 5. So if your enemy be hungry, what do you see in Romans? Feed him. What are you doing? You are overcoming evil. So for every evil that is done to you, the conduct expected from you as a believer is to walk in love. The conduct expected from you is to what? Repay evil with good. That's love walk. Look at James. In fact, look at James quickly. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Look at James chapter 1, verse 13. Look at James 1, verse 13. Look at James 1, verse 13. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. Yeah, let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. What do you think James is teaching? He's trying to explain Genesis. Yeah, the normal story would have been that God put an apple or whatever fruit for Adam to eat, or God was trying to test. No. What did James say? Let no man say that when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted any man. What does God cannot be tempted with evil really mean? It means that people will actually really try to tempt God, but God doesn't yield to man's temptation. God doesn't yield to man's temptation. God doesn't give in to man's temptation. So to try and do in response to evil, people are doing or tempting him to do. He doesn't give in or doesn't try to respond to the evil people are tempting him to do. Look at Colossians 8 quickly. Colossians chapter 3 verse 8, sorry. Colossians 3, 8. Oh, in fact, before you go there, look at chapter 1, verse 14 of James. It says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his lusts and is enticed. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his lust and is enticed. Look, Colossians. Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 8. Yeah, but now ye also put off all of this, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. So Paul teaches to Colossians that they should put away anger, put away wrath, put away filthy communication. Yeah, so what said in anger, things said to respond in rage or in anger, Paul says what? We put aside, we put away in doing that you are walking in love, in doing that you are walking in the spirit. Look at Ephesians 4. Let me touch Ephesians 4 again quickly. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Ephesians 4, 26. Look at it again. Look at Ephesians 4, 26. He says what? He says, be angry. See, Paul told in Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, and said what? Put anger and wrath away. See what Paul now says? The same Paul now says, be angry, but make sure you don't sin. No. There's a syntax error in verse 26 of chapter 4. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Look at that same Ephesians 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness, let all wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love. What did he call it in Galatians? Walk in the Spirit. As Christ also had loved us and had given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. So go back to Ephesians 4. So Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 26 will not say be angry but not sin. No, anger in itself is a sin. Yeah, so there's a syntax error there. Why will Paul say be angry and not sin? He now says in 3 verses after or 4 verses after, he now says put anger away. No, a good way to read Ephesians 4 26 is what? Be ye not angry and sin. Yeah, there's a syntax error there. That be ye not angry, that not that is after sin should be in between ye and angry. So be ye not angry and sin. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. That now makes it better in verse 31. Let bitterness and wrath and anger and evil speaking be put away from you. So be ye not angry. See, anger is not of God. So Paul cannot be saying be angry but don't sin. See, anger is not issues of the devil. Anger has no limit. Yeah, think about what Cain did out of anger. Yeah, Cain did not prepare to kill. I don't think Cain might have prepared to kill his brother. But out of anger, out of rage, people do the most. Yeah, anger. Oh, you must not neglect that which is in you, the Spirit of God in you. Yeah, you must not neglect that which is in you, the Spirit of God in you. Yeah, the truth is this: you will always be around people who can be considered as baby Christians. But what do? You walk in love. You choose not to be angry. Yeah, see, choosing not to be angry is a choice. Yeah, walking in love is a decision. See, that's why Paul tells you, stand firm. Walk in love. Walk in the Spirit. Walk. It is your decision. Yeah. Choosing to be angry actually is an expression of you living below your standard. In the real sense, you are of a higher class. There's no anger in your spirit. Yeah. You see, the problem about anger is that anger allows you to forget all the good of people and makes you point your attention to that singular bad thing that is done. Are we together? So your conduct in trying situations where people tend to get you angry, there's a conduct of the word expected of you. There's a what is it? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in love. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in love. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in love. Look at Matthew 10. Look at Matthew 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10 verse 16. So we have seen assurance of what? People that will despitefully use us, people that will persecute us. What did he say? Feed your enemies and give them water to drink. Yeah, so remember, I've done justice to Matthew 10:26. It says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as dove. We've explained over and over that the word serpent is not usually used for positive things. Usually it was used for negative things. Genesis chapter 3. Yeah, the serpent was more subtle than the other beast. Yeah, speaking about the devil. Revelation 12:9 explains that serpent is the devil. Yeah, Jesus said, which has given authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions. That is the works of the devil. Yeah, so Jesus will not now say, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore as wise as serpent. No, a syntax error there also. A good read of that will be what? Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves who are as wise as serpents. Therefore, be harmless as dove. Yeah, the next verse explains that, which is actually walking in love, walking in spirit. We're walking in the spirit. It's not saying be as wise as serpent and be as harmless as sheep. No. It is be what? You are in the midst of wolves who are as harmless as wolves or who are as harmful as wolves, and you are in the midst of people who are as corny as serpents. What you are to do? You are to be as harmless as a dove, and what? You are to be as a sheep. If you look at that verse very well, you can put sheep and doves in the same bracket. You can put wolves and serpents in the same bracket. Sheep, you cannot put a sheep and a wolf in the same cage. You can also put a serpent and a dove in the same cage. In the real sense, there are two wild, one is wild, one is non-wild. Yeah. So be therefore as what? Harmless as a dove, even in the midst of serpents. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So now, from all of this, we have tried to establish some basic, very fundamental things. Very fundamental things. Yeah, so we've established that the love of God should be the basis of the actions we take. The love of God should be the basis of the things we do. There are certain things that are not expected from the believer because of the love of God. Yeah, there are certain things, there are certain ways a believer should conduct himself or herself because of the love of God. So we said that let the love of God rule over your knowledge. Let the love of God have a final say over your actions. Yeah, let it be the basis for our actions, the actions we take. Yeah, let it be the basis for the actions we take. Let it be the basis for the actions we take. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's try and, you know, pay a little attention to what James was teaching in James. Look at, let's quickly see something. James, look at James. James 3, look at James 3. Look at James 1, look at James, James, James. Look at James 1 before 3. James, chapter 1, verse 3. Look at James 1 verse 19, where we read earlier. He says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. Yeah, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Yeah, what should every man be swift to hear and slow to speak? It should be, look at verse 13. It says what? Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Let no man, let none. When you understand God, you understand how you will act. So you understand God, you understand your actions or the things you do based on your understanding of God. Let me say better. Your understanding of God gives expression to your conduct among saints. So we are only quick to get angry because we have not acknowledged the truth about God's word. We are only quick to live any life or live a careless life because we are not acknowledged the truth about God's love. Look at verse 21. It says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. So lay aside filthiness. Where is that? In your conduct, in your mind, really. Yeah. So the answer to the believer's love work, or the major key to the believer's love work, is what? James chapter 1 verse 19. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. Look at chapter 3. Look at chapter 3. See what he now taught in chapter 3. James chapter 3. 3 verse 1. He says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in words, yeah, the same is a perfect man and able to what? Bridle the whole body. So what is James teaching? Spiritual maturity is actually could be measured in words. See again, if any man offend not in words, the same is a perfect man and is able also to bridle the whole body. Yeah? So spiritual maturity can be measured in words. So the things you say, the things you do can reveal the extent of your spiritual maturity. Let me say it better. So the more you grow as Christian, it reflects in your conduct. It reflects in the things you say and do. So your behavior is of a child, or if your behavior is childlike, yeah? Say it this way, Let me use that example. Yeah, the ability we have as saints is the ability to love or walk in love, to walk in the Spirit. Yeah, that's why you see James was teaching in James chapter 4 when he said that ye ask amiss and receive amiss. You ask amiss and receive not because ye ask amiss, or ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your flesh. Yeah, you may consume it upon your what? Your flesh. So look at verse 3 again. Verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths. So we put bits in the horses' mouth that they may obey us. Yeah, you know what bits are? Those things you put in the horses' mouth to direct in that direction, or to direct the horse to where to go to. Yeah, you use bits in the mouth. So Paul now gives another example again. He says, and we turn about their whole body. So that which is a small piece of material or piece of rope in the mouth of a horse, which is called bit, is what directs the entire body of the horse. Yeah, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whether so soon the governor listeneth. He now uses those two things as an example of the tongue. Yeah, so James is not teaching about horse racing. He's not teaching about horse banding. No, he is not teaching about marine spirit in water. No, he is teaching about the use of tongue. He now says in verse 6, even so the tongue is a little member and boosted great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. So the same way there's a little thing in the horse or the sheep that moves the entire direction of the sheep or the horse, is the same way as a tongue in our mouth. Look at verse 5. Even so the tongue is a little member and boosted great things. Yeah, and boosted great things. So he's trying to teach about the importance of the tongue. He's using the sheep and the horse to give proper illustrations to make his point. What is his point? In verse 2, for in many things we offend. If any man offend in words, the same is perfect, is a perfect man. If any man offend not in words, rather, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. So his point is really that, let no man offend in words. So your maturity as a believer could be expressed or seen in words. In fact, your words actually influence the things you actually do and a lot of things you say. Let me say better. A lot of things, or a lot of... The words have the ability, let me say better. The words that we have the ability to actually give direction to the things we do or to the actions we make. So, James is teaching that what? Your words are able to quench a lot and to instigate a lot. So, the root are in the mouth of the sheep, which he uses in verse 4, is equal to the same bit he used in verse 3 in the mouth of the horse, is equal to what? The tongue. So, putting your words in your mouth, they can determine the direction of circumstances. So Paul, James was really using figures of speech to explain certain things. So the tongue is just like the rudder that directs the sheep. The same way the tongue directs or gives direction to circumstances or places or situations we find ourselves. So the words you might speak might look insignificant, but we are to see them as things that are very, very, very important. Our words look very simple and basic a lot of times, but really, it's easier said than done. It's true. Yeah, it is easier to say what God says. Say what God says in every situation you find yourself. What is God saying? What is his love saying? What is his love saying? What is God saying? What is God saying? What is his love saying? What is his love saying? What is what says? Put away future looker. Put away what? Anger. Put away wrath. Hallelujah. So when words are spoken generally, I'm trying to round up this particular teaching or, you know, in giving importance to use of words. When words are said, you know, when words are spoken, you know, it takes time to see the effect of what words can do. You know, Jesus pointed our attention to the use of words. Look at Mark. Look at Mark 11, verse 13. Yeah, so look at Matthew 11, 13. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. And for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto him, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Yeah, what is Jesus teaching? The importance of words. What words can do. Look at what happens in verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the root. And Peter calling to remembrance that which the master had said, behold, he said, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. You see, Jesus did not say, I curse you, the thou tree. It was Peter recording or recounting the story and saying, Jesus cursed it. What did Jesus say? Jesus answered and said unto him, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that thou things which he has said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever I said. So what is Jesus really teaching? The importance of words. What he's saying to the mountain is not talking about a literal mountain. Yeah, he's not talking about a literal mountain. Yeah, Jesus is basically teaching about the importance of words, just like what James taught in James. Look at James again. Go back to James quickly. James 3. Look at verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity. So is the tongue amongst our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things of the sea is tamed, and had been tamed of mankind. So what is James actually teaching about here? The importance of words. So now, why am I saying all of this? You can use your words to bring to your consciousness about the love of God in you. You can use your word to bring to your consciousness that which you are to express in, or that which you are to express as sins. Yeah? See verse 8 of James 3. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. What is James beginning to teach? Blessing and curse should not come from that which is the same, or blessing and curse should not come from the same source. Yeah, he says these things ought not be so. Look at it now, explains in verse 11, using figures of speech again. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Yeah, either can a vine bear figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh water. What is he saying? The good and evil should not come out from the saint. There is one thing that the saint is full of love. That should be expressed in his walk amongst people and in his conduct amongst people. Are we together? So, you see what he says again. Who is a wise man that endured with knowledge amongst you? Let him show out a good conversation of his work with meekness of wisdom. What is let him show out? Let your conduct show the wisdom you possess. Yeah, in reference to knowledge. Yeah, your wisdom you possess is expressed as your action. Your good conversation there is actually going to be conduct. Yeah, let him show out a good conduct or a good conversation is works with meekness of wisdom. That's actually speaking about conduct. Yeah, so as saints, there are certain times you find yourself where it looks like it's difficult to forgive. Yeah, you have the ability to use your mouth to bring to your consciousness, the tongue in your mouth to bring to your consciousness that which God says about you, that which God says you are full of. You are full of God. Remember, no matter what you teach, no matter what we say as Christians, whatever we must teach as believers in reference to love, go back to Galatians 1. Let's end in Galatians 1. Galatians chapter 1. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert that gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven should preach, so it means that the gospel of Christ is a message that actually teaches about the love of God and must deepen your assurance about the faith you have in the love of God. So no matter how much we teach the love work or teach the believer's conduct, we must be able to give a reassurance to our faith, our love work. Hallelujah. Let me give us a few points we can hold on to, you know. Number one, always ask yourself, what would love of God do in any and every situation? Number two, is it wrong or right? That question, when such similar questions or such questions like that come up frequently, you can choose to totally avoid it just for the love of God. For the sake of the love of God. For the sake of the love of God. Number three, Pastor W.F. Kumuyi says something. He says, you stay off certain things that are right in your conscience, but we affect others' faith because of your consecration. I say it again. We are to stay off certain things that might be right in our conscience, just like what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. So you stay off certain things that might be right in your conscience, but will affect the faith of others because of your consecration. He now says something. He says, your consecration is not about you, but about the Lord Jesus and others. I'll say it again. you stay off certain things that are right in your conscience, but might affect the faith of others. Yeah, we see typical example is 1 Corinthians 6 verse 12. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 13, there's nothing wrong in eating meat, but Paul says, I choose to stay away from eating meat for the sake of my brethren. Yeah, so you stay off certain things that are right in your conscience, but will affect others' faith because of your consecration. Yeah, your consecration is not about you, but about the Lord Jesus Christ and others. You can sacrifice certain actions, pleasurable things, in order to lead men to Christ, for the sake of leading men to Christ. There are certain actions you can sacrifice for the sake of leading men to Christ. There are certain actions you can sacrifice for the sake of leading men to Christ. There are certain actions you can sacrifice for the sake of leading men to Christ. Glory to God. Yeah? Let's end in Ephesians 5 quickly. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1. Ephesians 5 verse 1. It says, be therefore followers of God as their children, and walk in love as Christ also had loved us and had given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. Yes, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way again and again. We're trying to tie up the teaching on believers' conduct, and we've said emphatically that let the love of God be the basics of every action we take, every action we do. Yeah? Why do you forgive? The love of God is the foundation. Why do you forgive? The love of God is the foundation. Why do you do certain things and not do certain things? The love of God is the foundation. Love of God is that litmus test for the believer to know what to do and what not to do. Yeah? On Sunday, we'll be meeting again, and we'll try to have a question and answer session on Sunday. Please, we want to have a question and answer session on Sunday. Kindly send out your questions to me before Sunday, just so that we can, you know, be in haste and so that we don't take too much time on Sunday. Send out your questions if you have personal questions. You know, for a series like this, you know, I've not been able to give literal examples. What do I do here in times like this? What do I do? Why not this and that and this and this? You know, but in the real sense, we would try to trash out some questions like that on Sunday. So come up with your questions between now and Sunday. Please, I would admonish, yeah, you can still come with your questions on Sunday, but I would admonish that you send your questions ahead of time concerning conduct, concerning believers' love walk. Yeah, concerning conduct, concerning believers' love work, you know, to me personally, so that in case you don't want people to know who's asking what and who is saying what and everything, if you really want to ask a question in front of everyone on Sunday for better understanding, maybe you think we might not understand your questions in the text message, you can send a voice note to me. You can as well collect the mic on Sunday to ask your questions about believers' conduct, believers' love work. Hallelujah. Until I come away again on Sunday, Jesus remains glorified. Have a lovely night, Tress. Thank you. Love you all. Bye.